Our job is to continue to deliver great technologies, solutions that are meaningful, services that can be added to provide more profitability for our partners and a great customer experience. And of course, at the same time, increase the relevance in that partner conversation to make sure that when they do have choice, they're not putting perhaps five options on the table, they're putting two options on the table and being very confident and comfortable as to these two options can meet your current requirement.
This is KBCast.
As a primary target for ransomware campaigns,
is security and testing and performance and scalability.
Risk and compliance.
We can actually automate that.
Take that data and use it.
Joining me today is Raj Sharma, Senior Manager from Palo Alto Networks. And today we're discussing the evolution of a reseller. So Raj, lovely to have you on this show. So welcome, and I'm excited to talk to you today.
Thank you so much. Pleasure being here.
So I want to start with your timeline about, you know, you've been in the game for 20 years or 18 years or whatever it is, long tenure. So I'm curious then to maybe, let's start off with, walk everyone through where a reseller sort of started, where they are now, if there's any sort of significant changes, just your view of being in this space a while.
Sure. I mean, I've seen a lot of change, like many of us, and even the definition of what we, you know, call a reseller now as to what we thought of them 10, 15, 20 years ago, in some cases is similar and in some cases very different. You know, resellers from my many years ago life were very much employees of large organizations that decided they're going to start their own business, and rather than work for an organization and manage and operate a certain environment, they'll just provide it as a service. Then they started scaling that business and probably capped out, you know, 10, 15, 20 customers, and in some cases generated a great business providing services to many of their friends or similar type organizations, and either sold their organizations and became bigger, and in some cases probably went back into the enterprise environment. That's one end of the spectrum. Many of the conversations back then were, you know, SME or SMB organizations, small size organizations that definitely didn't have dedicated IT resourcing, so needed these type of individuals that have the expertise of the environment that could provide experience and outcomes that small businesses and operating organizations needed to connect to the internet, to connect their printer, all the way up to installing antivirus on a desktop, even before laptops were a thing. And then of course, on the other side of the spectrum are large organizations that just have, you know, more number of employees and provide multiple type of services, anything from networking to telephone services, internet links, printing services, or even software sales. And software resales is, you know, kind of what was primarily a hot ticket item. Giving that question some thought, it's interesting. We were selling, you know, licenses via certain resellers that had inventory and stocking of boxes on shelves, or would ship out or deliver a box to a customer, but transitioning off a physical device like a disc or a CD-ROM, because it was easier to, you know, and a lot cheaper than manufacturing those, we would ship a box and the box would have a piece of paper with a license key, which the customer would ultimately, you know, use the license key to download. So it's just interesting how the space of IT industry changed the way that customers and consumers wanted to buy something, see something physical, and those type of resellers had to accommodate for that. Now, obviously, in the last 20 years, e-commerce has been probably the biggest driver and opportunity for many of those different type of organizations to grow and scale their business. And of course, you know, remain competitive with large cloud providers and, you know, distributors such as Amazon, that has really disrupted the way that resellers were trying to become value-added resellers by taking a lot of that burden off that customer, a lot of the risk off the customer, by committing to things like SLAs and focus industry services to give those type of organizations that don't have dedicated resources the desired outcome they're looking for. So yeah, it depends in which lens you look at it, but there's been a massive shift to the way a reseller is viewed. A reseller is considered for different types of industries, customer sizes, and the requirement of the customer.
So you said how a reseller is viewed. So how do you believe they are currently viewed? Do you have any insight?
The word reseller, I think, is probably used a little bit loosely, but the one thing that many resellers like to focus in on with their customers is differentiate themselves than the other option or other partner that is in the mix. And the partner is the one that probably gets most people intrigued and interested, which is, what is the difference between a reseller and a partner? A reseller is, I guess, on the most basic term, someone that's transacting something or just getting you the best possible price, and there's no real emotional attachment to that transaction. Resellers becoming partners and becoming in partnerships, I guess, is an individual or an organization that has taken considered time and invested time in understanding the individual's both business and personal outcomes that they seek, or the organization's desire and the project that they want to achieve. And those partners go in and invest in their own organization to scale for the customer outcome or bring a wealth of repeatable success for their clients. So I think the view of a reseller is just, a cheap price, versus a partner that is someone that I've built building a trusted relationship, because they're someone that I can rely on and someone that's delivered an outcome for me in the past.
So I want you to give maybe a high level of how all this model works, because again, I think you are right. Like the definitions people use interchangeably, if you're on the client side your whole life, like I had been historically, you're not always exposed to how all the mechanics of how it works, the partner, the distributor, the vendor. So maybe just map it out. How does the chain of command go? Just so people are all on the same page here and everyone is clear in what a reseller is. I know it sounds like a dumb question and it seems basic, but still people don't know.
I would say the one thing we can all agree is customer is king. So the chain of command is an interesting term, but the individual or organization that is closest to the customer, in my opinion, is probably chain of command, or has the closest relevance to the customer. And if customer is king, then that's kind of the organization or individual that leads the progress, the partnership, the conversation, or the opportunity forward. So I think, everyone plays an important part when we think about the way that resellers or partners have partnerships with customers and their suppliers across distribution and vendors. So manufacturers of certain products and services that are resold through the channel ecosystem. So the customer has traditionally worked with resellers to buy something off a shelf or via e-commerce and their online portal, to working with partners by trusting in them to give outcomes because the customer or environment of that customer doesn't have the resources to achieve the outcome without the partner's help. So the partner then says, you have a requirement for technologies, people, and that's what I'm going to invest in to help you achieve that outcome. So then the reseller, or the partner in this case, would speak to their suppliers, manufacturers of software, hardware capabilities, software as a service capabilities, and package up the right solution for their customer. So the customer is instilling a lot of trust and is looking for an opinion to help make those decisions based on the level of trust that they've invested in that partnership.
Just say like a chain. So it'd be customer, reseller, partner, distributor, vendor. Is that correct? How it would sort of, mapping it out in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, like most technical answers, I say it depends, because, in the traditional sense, 10, 15 years ago, it would be a customer to a reseller who buys from a distributor, and the distributor has relationships with the manufacturers and the vendors and suppliers. Now, customers have, direct access in some cases to vendors and suppliers, software as a service providers and cloud providers. And we're starting to see a mix of buying behavior from customers where it makes sense and where resellers or partners find it to be most either commercially beneficial for all parties by either transacting, you know, with a distributor or with a cloud provider or directly via the manufacturer. So we're seeing a massive shift to the way customers are looking to consume technologies. For example, customers would buy a product and pay for that product, may it be software or hardware, for a 1 year or a multi-year purchase up front, as an example, a CapEx purchase, to a massive shift to operating expenses, which is the ability to turn on and turn off capabilities when they want and pay for only what they use as a consumption model. So those things are creating opportunities for many vendors and partners, while at the same time creating a lot of competition and choice for those customers to drive down either cost or drive up significant more value for the customer.
Yeah, that's great. And I think, as we've sort of mentioned, it's the evolution of the resale. So historically, that structure I mentioned before is maybe how it was more, you know, as the primary structure. Now, obviously, it's changing because people can purchase through AWS, Marketplace, et cetera. So I guess that's why I wanted to bring you on the show, because you know this world inside and out and you have all the answers. So I want to move now. You spoke before, you made the operative word that you mentioned was competition. There's more players now. There's great startups that are coming to the market. So I think about a reseller. Now, there's obviously different versions of it, and you've spoken about it at length. Obviously, resellers resell technology. So I'm really curious to hear from you, Raj, with your experience. And you obviously work for a very large vendor with a great brand, etc. So it's probably a little bit different that I'm asking you this question, but maybe if you can put your, you know, your lens through a different way, would be look at a smaller player that's going to partner with a reseller with the chance of, you know, selling their product to a customer. So talk me through this, because this is something that I'm hearing a little bit more from people. You know, resellers stock a lot of products or, you know, technologies. So I'm just curious to hear from your lens how this sort of looks, or if you have any, what's your view really?
Sure. I mean, if I understand correctly, you're saying, you know, how does a smaller newcomer to a market get relevant to the market and to the reseller mindset, right? So I'm very privileged to be coming up to 10 years in my current environment. And, you know, 10 years ago, we were less known and less present in the market. So we had to do very different things to become relevant. And for new solution providers in any capacity, my view is that those organizations are either disrupting a large established market or looking to create a new market, or three, complementing an existing market. So in our case, we were disrupting a very large market. So the way that we had to go to market was show both customers and resellers that we are going to disrupt a legacy traditional approach to the way things are done in our space, and providing a outcome to a customer that they've not seen before. And that catches on. And when you lead with facts, you know, deliver on those promises, then a lot of people resonate towards that. Where you are, you know, it's less likely, and we're seeing less and less of this more recent times in many new solutions that are creating new opportunities. Obviously, it's just the competition is so high, investments are so low, that for a lot of those new vendors, we're not seeing a lot of that as we used to perhaps, you know, 10 years ago and so forth. So complementing an environment is, I guess, something that it could be very beneficial for existing resellers that have a really big customer base in one particular technology. They have an opportunity now to go back to that big customer base and say, you know, this particular product that we've sold you, you can use something that's an add-on that we've just found, and we establish a new partnership with this new technology that can drive more value. What tends to happen with those type of complementary solutions that they tend to get consolidated or acquired by a lot of the technology vendors that they're complementing. So for a reseller, this presents not only complexity, but it depends on if they're seeing their glass half full, glass half empty. But for many of those ahead of the curve, early adopters, it's been very beneficial because they see that they can remain relevant in a customer environment by talking to them more often, and not only when it's time for renewing an existing contract or you know, selling them on demand.
You mentioned before it could create complexity. How so?
So I guess depending on the type of reseller that we're talking about or organization, they could also see it as a threat because, you know, they could be selling technology or they've gone down a path with certain vendors that have encouraged the reseller and their customers to go down a certain architecture, you know, has a different approach. So if a new vendor comes in that can provide a very different approach that is more commercially attractive, operationally attractive, and more meaningful, but it requires the customer to change their approach to architecture, that's going to threaten, you know, resellers that have invested in that legacy approach. So, you know, not only is it competitive, it's also complex because now they've got to take a big decision. Do they fight the resistance or do they start to move in the direction that either vendors are creating that new market or convincing the market that there's time for a change and better way to do things? I'm sure many people would agree with me that, you know, we would have felt very much the same about, you know, cloud service providers 10 years ago. Many organizations would have felt it's never going to catch on. And a lot of those on-premise resellers would have had that opinion. And now I feel they're either going in that direction or perhaps being consolidated.
So let's come back to the reseller thing again. So, you know, depends on the reseller. Again, we're just giving an example. We're not, you know, pointing anyone out. We're just talking generally here. So just say hypothetically, you're a reseller, you stock, I don't know, arbitrary 40 vendors that you're working with, okay, quite a lot. And, you know, for someone that's at the coalface of this industry, even I can get confused about all the specific services, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, okay? So I'm then curious as to how does a reseller then wrap their head around each of those vendors, which may be different areas, similar areas, et cetera, but then each of those 40 vendors have X amount of services. So then just say hypothetically they've all got 5 services each and there's probably more than that. So you're dealing with 40 different vendors that then have 5 different services. That's a lot. So how does all that work? Because this is something that I find really interesting because I speak to multiple vendors right around the globe and even I get confused. So I'm thinking that other people are probably in the same boat.
Yeah, absolutely. There's been a lot of change in the IT industry as a whole. There's been a lot of growth in the IT industry as a whole, and it's presented significant opportunities for many different type of solution providers. And they go into different buckets and they end up, you know, as to our earlier point, creating, acquiring, and building complementary technologies that surround that ecosystem, anything from operating system environments to collaborative tools, and of course, the most fragmented environment being cybersecurity. So, you know, that can be very complex, not only for the reseller, but of course for the customer, because the customer now is inundated with so much noise and so much choice. Again, I think choice is very important, and I think choice is a healthy thing because where organizations stand out are the ones that can lead with facts and lead with proven outcomes that they want to repeat for certain customers of similar environments or verticals or those that face similar challenges. Everything leads back to the relevance of the customer, the reseller or the partner environment in which they're focusing in a certain vertical or a certain approach. What tends to happen is organizations like those partners that, you know, perhaps only focus on networking tend to end up in complementary surrounding vendors that implement into that network conversation. And many also diversify and become multinational organizations that can do everything or majority of things that large enterprises are looking for. How do they keep up with all of this and how do they become relevant? I think it's a responsibility of those manufacturers and vendors like us to be considered and to have an authentic approach to the way that we can add value to the individual that is likely to take the conversation to the customer. So if we need a reseller or a partner to open up a dialogue with a customer, we need to establish a level of relevance and then, of course, trust. And in any sales environment, regardless if you're the consumer, the customer, or the enterprise organization, you want to deal with people that you feel comfortable with, who ultimately build a level of trust, get an opportunity to deliver an outcome, and look to replicate that. So we need to be very mindful of where are we starting that conversation, at which part of their life cycle in a particular customer environment, and how do we provide the best outcome for all parties in the shortest period of time? And what are we going to do as manufacturers and suppliers to those partners to help them differentiate and retain relevance into that customer environment while at the same time helping everyone grow their business and achieve their outcomes?
Okay, so you mentioned before establish relevance. So how can people establish relevance? So yes, you can come in and say this is technology and you do the pitch and the this and that. People forget. The next guy rolls up and does his pitch and it's much of a muchness. It could be if it's a similar and it's a similar sort of technology, okay? How do you get the penetration then with the partner? Because I mean, at the end of the day, there's going to be the next vendor that rolls in, does their thing. So this is really important because this to me is what is, giving the best outcome then for the customer. Because it could be a vendor that they're stocking that perhaps they don't know much about. Maybe they overlook it because they don't know it as well, because maybe the vendor isn't, establishing the relevance. So I'm just curious to hear from your point of view, Raj, how do you do that effectively?
I think people are the most important part of that. The individual's capability and understanding of the industry, the problem we're solving, and how we are going to be relevant by giving the outcome or resolving a problem by giving the outcome that the customer or that industry needs. So it's important having good technology. It's better having great technology that is recognized by customers and industry peers and analysts. But in many cases, near enough is good enough. And I think sometimes customers are okay with that. And then they make certain compromises on how far they will invest or how much value they want to drive out of perhaps either a cheaper alternative or something that was either a band-aid fix because they didn't have time or enough funding for a particular project versus individuals that can go in and understand the difference between what we want to tell a customer and what we understand about the customer and what they need to hear. So I think there's a difference between what we want to tell them and what they need to hear. So for that, the individuals need to be very well prepared and I would say considered on what we will talk about and where we need to focus. More importantly, I think the empathy part is probably the most interesting bit because we got to think about the considerations of the individual customer or the organization. They have choice, they have option, they have a lot of noise, they got limited budgets. So I think where we're doing a good job is not only talking about great technologies and the problems in the industry, and everyone sounds the same when we talk about, hey, in cyber, things are getting more complicated. There's more attack vectors and the adversaries are getting more sophisticated and automated and using cloud. I think everyone in our industry is probably talking about that, and it's important to talk about that. But when do we talk about that versus why would you want to deal with us? We understand what you're dealing with. We understand the options you have. And this is where we've provided success. And if that's important to you, let us help you understand why our approach is unique or considered to be the best option for you because of the outcomes we've driven with other similar customers or organizations or individuals of a similar scenario. So I think that takes time. That takes a lot of experience and a lot of confidence to be able to form an opinion. And this is where I've seen a lot of success happen with partnerships. A reseller that just says, yep, I can give you option 1, 2, and 3 versus a partner that forms an opinion, a partner that says, you do have two or three options, but I'm of the opinion that, you know, option B is the best option for you. It might be a little bit out of budget, but longer term, knowing your environment, it's going to be a better fit. Additionally, outside of technology and the people, I think we need to understand and definitely recognize the human element of what individuals are dealing with. And, you know, obviously not too long ago, we were talking about the pandemic and isolation and, you know, anxiety and other challenges, then followed by inflation and cost of living and, of course, the cost of doing business and operating models changing, and then organizations having to change the way that they used to spend money and the way that they are now funded and having to do more with less. So I think that is something that certain vendors are doing a better job, either understanding and also providing a solution for or complementing what the customer needs, in addition to providing great technology.
So going back to the establishing relevance, should the onus be on the vendor or on the partner to be driving that? What do you sort of see? What comes up in your mind when I ask you that question?
It goes back to customer is king and who's closest to the customer, and on a, you know, account by account. If I'm sitting with a partner talking about a certain customer, we understand who's leading that conversation and who's taking accountability for going back to the customer with an update or a recommendation. But as a whole, I think the opportunity in the IT industry is huge. I mean, we're seeing great growth in many of the areas that we talk to customers about, a lot of demand in all those areas. So it's incumbent on us to talk to as many people as we can, the privilege that we get. We're very grateful for the time we get with our customers, while at the same time, we invest the same amount of energy and time with our partnerships by also having a similar conversation. Those partners have a lot of choice and a lot of people that are also looking for their time. We treat them with the same level of care, both customers and our partners, and look for relevance in the conversation that drives for repeatable success.
Okay, I want to switch gears slightly now. And you mentioned the word choice. So I want to talk about being fair. And I know, look, I'm just going to ask you the question anyway. So just say X reseller has had a previous experience with a particular vendor. Wouldn't you say they, the reseller, by default would resell the same product because they know it's better and they've had more experience with it, irrespective of perhaps another solution was better or suited the customer needs better? Now, again, it's going to depend on the problem, but just say side by side, you had two vendors, but then one vendor, the reseller, had more to do with just by default. People default back to what they know. So again, you said before the customer is the king, but maybe potentially the reseller is not doing right by the customer because they don't really know the other vendor. So maybe the other vendor that they don't know much about is the better solution. So I'm really curious to see how this works.
I can sense your mind just spinning around. How does this work, and who takes the first step? And yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is the world that we live in today, right? There are many customers, and then there's many potential prospects. So for us to get to a prospect, we need to speak to a reseller who wants to become our partner to go and form an opinion that the technology that was sold to them many years ago is perhaps not the right fit for them today. That is the ideal conversation for us. And I don't think it's done out of malice. I mean, obviously, everyone has a duty of care for the customer and has a professional responsibility to inform their clients of choice. But it's also understandable that, you know, the most common human trait is to avoid and take the easiest path of resistance. So for a reseller to go back to a customer and say, hey, I sold you a certain product and I've found something better for you, I don't see that happening as often as as we would like. And I don't see that being a deliberate thing because they're trying to be malicious or unprofessional. I just think we have a responsibility to continue to educate them, to spend more time with those resellers to say, you have an opportunity to add more value to the customer, rather than be seen as someone that sold them something that is not the right fit, because again, it depends on when we've walked into that relationship. Clearly, we wouldn't expect a reseller that just sold a technology a month ago to go back to them tomorrow and say, hey, I sold you the wrong thing, because you know that's probably where things get a little bit unstuck. So I feel that it's an opportunity for certain type of resellers to look for opportunities by looking at the way the market's moving. And are they selling technology that's becoming outdated? Are they seeing a decline with those technologies that they've been selling for a number of years? And are they seeing additional revenue growth with things like services attach rate, managed services attach rate opportunities? Are the technologies selling becoming commoditized? So I think that's, you know, by individual cases, it will depend on the reseller environment. Are they happy with what they're making, or are they being presented with other opportunities to grow their business? However, you know, they may approach it. I think there are things that are outside of all of our control. The market is moving a certain way. New threats are becoming more and more obvious. And customers are starting to pretty much do their own level of education and their own level of investment with people internally to think about how they're going to stay ahead, while at the same time leaning on certain partners to take that advice. But I'm seeing a massive shift on the customers actually looking for outcomes directly by the manufacturers and investing their own time and people to learning those technologies and speaking directly with us, because they want to filter out the noise and they also want to be pretty clear on the choices they have. So yeah, I think it's an opportunity for resellers to stay ahead of the curve and invest in new approaches. Or more importantly, I totally respect and appreciate the fact that they also need to protect their customer base, because they've invested many years of expertise in learning certain technologies, and that the cost of change is just too much for them. We have to, as manufacturers and vendors, again, similar to talking to customers, either disrupt their current customer base with new technology or bring them something new to grow their business and complement their existing customer base.
Okay, so let's flip it and look at the customer side. So you raised a few things in there, which is, you know, I was thinking in my mind, and going back to the whole theme of the interview and the evolution, would you say as well that customers, they're doing their own research? They're looking at media podcasts like this. They're going out and Googling stuff and talking to other people. So maybe, you know, by the time they go and speak to the reseller, it's like, hey, it's probably going to be this or this tech for this particular problem I'm solving. I know this because I literally had an example of this week. It was between two vendors, similar type of things. That's, you know, the reseller was in the middle saying, hey, do you have a contact for these two vendors? Which I did. So that was a very clear example of the customer knowing specifically it's either going to be this or this, because they're then doing their own research and due diligence. So are you seeing as well that perhaps the question I asked you before is maybe dwindling simply because the customers are now doing more research than, I don't know, maybe historically? Like, you know, people prefer that now. People like to learn in the dark and equip themselves before they go and, you know, hunt down a particular vendor. Are you seeing that as well?
Personally, absolutely. Particularly after, you know, the last couple of years, I've never had more large organizations come to our teams asking for advice on how to deal with certain challenges that they're facing. And that's not because they're not getting the value they want from their partners. I think it's because perhaps in our case, we're fortunate enough to have a vast capability and services set that the industry is acknowledging to be valuable. And at the same time, being a large organization allows us to be considered in a lot more conversation. And then thirdly, it's because they also want to get an unfiltered view from manufacturers on what is your unique value proposition? What will you do for me that's different than someone else that can also help me short term, but how are you the right partner of choice for midterm to long term? And I think that's what we strive for, which is we understand customers have choice. What we want to be the best at is be that first choice when it comes to any requirement and area that we can help them with. And that is not always addressed by technology. It is also provided as a value add through the relationships we build with our clients by giving them referenceability, blueprints, case studies, and industry experience and contacts within that industry that helps them be more informed through thought leadership discussions and roundtables, media releases, and you know, having a great team that comes from that industry and share their experience is priceless in many cases. It helps them make decisions based on the research that they've done themselves. And then we look for opportunities to bring in our key partners because we are spending more time better understanding our partners' value proposition, ecosystem, and really where they're headed in the future, what direction and what is their narrative with their clients. So once we marry that together, which is we've got a client that's dealing with a problem and we believe that it's not only through technology that they're going to be able to address that problem, we need our partners to step in and work together to provide everyone the outcome they're looking for.
So would you say that customers nowadays, sort of they want to hear it direct from the horse's mouth. They're going to go and ask you or someone in your team about your particular product, service, because you know it better. You work there. Whereas it goes back to my example before around stocking 40 vendors. Like, there's no way anyone would know all of those 40 vendors with all of their 40 services attached to them or whatever it is, for example. Could be more than that. Probably is. That's a lot for someone to know intrinsically all the information. Whereas you work for the company and then that's it. You don't have to remember what everyone else does. You're working for one vendor. You're not working for 40. So do you think that's where we will start to see a shift from the customer perspective of the customers going to direct to ask the questions that they need to do their vendor analysis or whatever it is? Is that what we're going to see moving forward now?
I would say if those type of resellers haven't already realized that it's not about having 40 vendors, it's about having 5 vendors that play in the same space. And if that is what you're leading to with a customer, then I would struggle to see how you're really providing a value-added service other than just a quote or, you know, 5 options on the table for a certain product to deal with one problem. That's not scalable. That's not the type of partners that we work with. We are comfortable with partners having choice and in some cases selling and reselling some of our competitor technologies where it makes sense for the client. Our job is to continue to deliver great technologies, solutions that are meaningful, services that can be added to provide more profitability for our partners and a great customer experience. And of course, at the same time, increase the relevance in that partner conversation to make sure that when they do have choice, they're not putting perhaps 5 options on the table, they're putting 2 options on the table and being very confident and comfortable as to these 2 options can meet your current requirement, but we believe option A or B is a better fit based on our understanding of the customer environment. So that's kind of what we're leaning towards, which is it's important to have choice, but have an informed decision as to why you're forming that opinion. You know, partners that are, or resellers, I would say, that are, you know, quoting everything or have multiple options are just a transaction arm. And I would say, you know, in some cases are in a good competitive option to drive down price for commoditized solutions and different segment of the market that we don't typically spend a lot of time in.
So yeah, you're right. 40 across very different areas of security makes sense. But again, if you're focusing on one area and there's 5 or 6 players that, you know, very similar in capability, that's where you believe that there's a problem. So would you say then, in your experience, again, being, you know, 2 decades in the space, there are more resellers, and again, I'm going to use the terms lightly. Okay, let's say 2 partners, strategic partner and transactional partner. Would you say generally there are more strategic partners out there, or would you say there are more transactional partners that exist that are putting 6 vendors on the table, take your pick, we've sent the quotes over, and good luck?
Well, I would say there's clearly a lot of organizations that resell a lot of stuff, so there's a lot more transactional partners that are out there, but I would say we're investing more than 80% of our time with the strategic partners that are relevant to our customers, because our customers tell us who they're spending time with, and we always, where the ends meet are always, those same strategic partners that provide different and in some cases similar capabilities. They themselves are competing for the same business, and they themselves need to differentiate their own capabilities just the way we have to when we're competing against our competitors in the space that we're talking to a customer about.
So from your point of view, Raj, being a vendor, what do you believe is value from a partner? What things are you looking for?
Personally, I think it's important to always be transparent and honest. It's okay to work on certain things and not work on other things. We have to respect that we won't be everything to everyone or all things to someone. So similarly, a partner may work with us on one opportunity or one environment of that customer. And in some cases, as I mentioned earlier, sell a competing solution because they have already invested in the past with an alternative solution until they come in and do the same with us. So I think that transparency, and that's what they expect from us. They want to know that if they share their insight, something that they have developed and obtained through their hard work and investment of time, then I think they are absolutely okay to ask for that level of transparency back from vendors, which is, if I bring you into this conversation, then I expect you to return the transparent commitment that I'm giving to you, because I have choice, but I believe we can work together and achieve great things with our joint customer.
So Raj, is there any sort of final thoughts or closing comments you'd like to leave our audience with today?
Oh, this has been a great conversation. It's been quite interesting reflecting on how things have changed, how opportunities have increased for customers and the industry as a whole. I don't believe any organization, any manufacturer can do great things without partnerships. And, I couldn't be where I am without working with amazing individuals across our strategic partners that help us provide meaningful outcomes for our customers. So, I think it's an amazing responsibility of those partners to stay close to their customers and lean on people who are committed to providing great solutions and outcomes for everyone involved. So I look forward to continuing that for many more years ahead.
This is KBCast, the voice of cyber.
Thanks for tuning in. For more industry-leading news and thought-provoking articles, visit kbi.media to get access today.
This episode is brought to you by Mercsec, your smarter route to security talent. Mercsec's executive search has helped enterprise organizations find the right people from around the world since 2012. Their on-demand talent acquisition team helps startups and mid-sized businesses scale faster and more efficiently. Find out more at mercsec.com today.